You're listening to the Muslim Community Radio on 92.1 FM. We will now listen to an Islamic lecture entitled Seeking Blessings from the Traces of the Prophet, Peace be upon him, At-Tabarruk.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن صلوات الله البدر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وسلام الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. فصحح النية لله تعالى. To Allah the Exalted our many praises. The one who is clear of all places. The Lord of everything, still and everything that moves. The only creator, as common sense proves. And may Allah raise the rank of Muhammad, the best prophet, and protect his nation from that which he fears for it. We also ask Allah to grant us the prophet's visit, and win his intercession, his visit's merit. Seeking the blessings of the traces of the Prophet, and seeking the blessings of the Prophet, which is called At-Tabarruk, and the blessing is Al-Barakah, from the best of Allah's creation, is something that is permissible in Islam, as we will show tonight. Those people who stop others from seeking the blessings of the Prophet and seeking the blessings of the traces of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are misleading and misled themselves. You see, Allah the Exalted put a blessing in the self, the doings, and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Allah put the blessings in the traces of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. The companions themselves, may Allah raise their ranks, used to seek the blessings of the traces of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Now, who are those misled people to say, after watching and seeing the companions, seek the traces or seek the blessings from the traces of the Prophet? After the companions have done that, who are those people of today to take away that judgment and impose something that has not been stated in Islam, no whatsoever. And not only that, the companions sought the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his lifetime, but also after his death. And today the Muslims, all around the world, except for a handful, the Muslims all around the world, except for some people, a group, calling themselves Muslim, still continue to seek blessings of the prophets and of the traces of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as has been the tradition. Now, why do they do that? And why did the companions do that? It is simply because it's permissible. But today, unfortunately, you find people near the grave of the Prophet, peace be upon him, disallowing the Muslims to go and seek the blessings from the traces of the Prophet. They claim that the Prophet does not benefit after his death. But we know, surely and certainly in Islam, that all the Prophets of Allah are alive in their graves praying. All the Prophets of Allah. And it has been stated in many hadiths that when somebody sends the salam to the Prophet, peace be upon him, the Prophet replies and sends a salam back to the person who started him with the salam. So the Prophet does benefit us after his death, and to seek the blessings from his traces is something clearly permissible in Islam. Now, there are several proofs to what we are stating today. For example, the narration from Al-Bukhari and Muslim confirm that during the last pilgrimage performed by the Prophet, peace be upon him, which was called Hajjatul Wada', this was the last time Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, performed pilgrimage before he died. What the Prophet did was to distribute his shorn hair. See, the Prophet threw the pebbles at Jamratul Aqaba, slaughtered a sheep and distributed its meat among the poor, then shaved his head. What the Prophet did at the time was to shave the right side of his head, and he gave the hair to a companion of his whose name was Abu Talha al-Ansari, the name of that man who was given those hairs was Abu Talha al-Ansari. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shaved the left side of his head. Now, similarly, he also gave that hair to Abu Talha al-Ansari, and told him, this time when he gave him the left side of his hair that he just shaved, distributed amongst the people. Some received one hair, some received more than one hair. Now, if seeking the blessings of the traces of the Prophet was something that was not permissible in Islam, why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and peace be upon him, the most knowledgeable human being, Allah ever created, the best of all creations that Allah created would do such a thing. Why would He give His hair and His nail clippings even to the people surrounding Him? You see, the Prophet knew that the people would benefit from his hair by seeking the blessings because of these traces. But the confusion to those people who are misled and who claim to be on Islam and who claim that this is what the schools of thought in Islam say, which by no way is true, they claim that without having any proof, no whatsoever. Even though knowing that the Prophet did give his shaved hair, the right side and the left side, to Abu Talha al-Ansari. And when he gave him the left side of his hair, after shaving it, he said to him to distribute the hairs amongst the people. So some got one hair, some got two hairs, and some got more than that. Had this been act, or had this act been non-permissible, the Prophet wouldn't have done that. And that's what those people are missing. You see, when we seek the blessings, we are asking Allah for the blessings. We're not asking the Prophet for the blessings. And that's where the confusion is when it comes to those people. They say, no, 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 you can't do that. This is blasphemy. Now those people saying it's blasphemy wouldn't be more knowledgeable than all of the Imams of Islam who were from the Companions and who were from the Tabi'een, the mass of men who followed the Companions. So when we know that these scholars of Islam have clearly stated that this act is permissible, no one should be allowed to refute this judgment in Islam. On the contrary, those people, what they really want is to get the Muslims away from their Prophet by saying that the Prophet does not benefit in his grave, and by saying that you cannot seek the blessings of the Prophet. Doing so, you would be a blasphemer. That's what they claim. And this is not true. You see, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also personally handed some of his hair to people near him. The Prophet himself. Including Umm Sulaym. And who is Umm Sulaym? She was one of these female companions. And Abu Talha al-Ansari, the companion that we just spoke about. He gave that hair to them so that they can distribute that hair amongst the people. In this way, the hair of the Prophet was spread in the Muslim countries. And up until today, you find it in different places or even different families keep the tradition of keeping the hair of the Prophet and they give it to their grandchildren and so on, and they keep the habit alive in the family. In some countries they gather one night a year in a mosque or somewhere. They get that hair out and everybody touches that hair seeking blessings. But from whom? From Allah. They are asking Allah, the Creator, God, the Exalted, for the blessings. They are not asking, and by no way we do say that the Prophet is creating that blessing. No, we are saying that by the Prophet, we are asking Allah for these blessings because of his high ranking and his high status. We are seeking those blessings of the traces of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this way, as we said, the hair was distributed and has become available in all the Muslim countries. And why the Prophet did that was for the people, or so that the people can seek his blessings. That's why the Prophet did that. Why else would the Prophet give his hair to the people in Hajjat al-Wada, the last time he performed pilgrimage? Likewise, the Prophet distributed his nail clippings amongst the people, as stated by Imam Ahmad in his book called Al-Musnad. The book was called Al-Musnad, the Imam Ahmad. These actions, and that's what we have to concentrate on, dear brothers and Muslims in Islam. So, that's what we have to concentrate on, that these actions clearly indicate the permissibility of seeking benefits from traces of the Prophet, dear brothers and sisters. Also, let's look at the companions of the Prophet. They also sought blessings from other traces of the Prophet as well. Imam Muslim, and this is a different story, it clearly again states that it is permissible to do such a thing. So, Al-Imam Muslim related in his Sahih, and Sahih is a book for Al-Imam Muslim, where he relates sayings of the Prophet. Now, what did he relate? He related that Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, the daughter of Abi Bakr, showed some people an article of clothing, and that article was Jubbat al-Nabi, the Jubba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an article of clothing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, used to use. The Prophet used to wear that article of clothing, and it had been at the house of his sister Aisha, because the Prophet was married to Aisha bint Abi Bakr. Her sister Asma, after Lady Aisha died, she took the jubba, that article of clothing that used to be worn by the Prophet, she took it and kept that article and used that article to seek blessings from that article, which is one of the traces of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Now Asma, the daughter of Abi Bakr, would surely have known whether this act was permissible or not. And who related this story? Imam Muslim. In his Sahih. This is another proof that one is allowed to seek blessings from the traces of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Now, how did they use that article of clothing? The companions at the time sought the blessings from this jubba, the article of clothing, by using the water in which they used to soak that article in. So they would soak the article in this water, and then they would take that water, they would take that water to treat the sick people and cure their illnesses. Now, are we stating here, and are we saying here, that this article cured the person? No, we are saying that Allah cured the person by using the blessings of this article. That's what we are saying. We are not saying that the Prophet is a creator. No, by no means we're doing that. But because the Prophet was so highly ranked, was so blessed, we seek blessings of the clothing that he used to wear, of the hair, and we ask Allah for those blessings. We ask Allah for those blessings. On the other hand, or furthermore, At-Tabarani and Imam Ahmad also narrated from the root of Ibn Hudayn that he went with his grandfather to the Prophet. And he said to the Messenger of Allah, now listen to this story carefully, because again, it clearly shows that seeking the blessings from the traces or of the traces of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something permissible. What did that man say to the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him? He said to him, I have sons and grandsons, some of whom are pubescents and others still children. Motioning to the young child next to him, he said, this is the youngest. That's what he said to the Prophet, the youngest one. He showed him the youngest one. Now what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? The Prophet brought this young child, whose name was Hanzala, next to him. So the Prophet brought him next to him, wiped on his head with his hand, and told him, Barakallahu feek, which means, may Allah bless you. So the Prophet took his hand, wiped on the forehead of that child with his hand, the youngest of all, that was with that man who came to the Prophet, and said to him, may Allah bless you. The Prophet made supplication to Allah to bless that child. Now after that, what people started doing was to bring Hanzala, a person with a swollen face, or a sheep with a swollen udder. And what would Hanzala do? He would put his hand, his own palm, he would put it on the same spot where the Prophet wiped his own hand, and then would put it again on the place that's swollen, and it would be cured by the will of Allah. Now, this story again shows the very same concept we are talking about. You see, it is permissible and not prohibited, as some claim it to be, to seek the blessings from the traces of the Prophet. Now, in the story before, what Asma bint Abi Bakr, the daughter of Abu Bakr, did was to use that article of clothing, soak it in water, and use that water, treat the sick people, and cure their illnesses, and they would be cured by the will of Allah. Now, in this instance, because the Prophet put his hand on the forehead of that child, Hanzala, people started coming to him. They were doing that for the very same reason. Knowing that the Prophet has put his hand on the forehead of that child, the blessing must have been there. So he would wipe his own hand on the same place the Prophet put his hand, and then wipe it again, or put it again on the swollen or the place to be treated of the body of the sick person who would come to him, and Allah would cure that sick person. Now that is not blasphemy, brothers and sisters in Islam. This is permissible. All the imam, all the scholars of Islam have stated clearly that there is no wrongdoing when someone seeks the blessings from the traces of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Just to add to what we've just mentioned, also Ibn Abi Shaybah narrated with a sahih chain, as judged by one of the very high-ranked scholars of Islam, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, that it was the practice of the companions in the masjid, in the mosque, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. The city of Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the tradition and the habit of the companions, may Allah raise their ranks, who are much, much, much more knowledgeable than those people claiming nowadays, in these days, that you cannot seek the blessings from the traces of the Prophet. The companions, the most knowledgeable people after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people who met him and acquired the knowledge straight from his mouth. The Prophet's mouth knew exactly what they were doing. And after the Prophet's death, what they used to do is that they used to go to the mosque of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and they would put their hands on the same spots the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to rest his palms when preaching on his minbar. So they would place their hands on the knob of the handrail. They used to place their hands on the knob of the handrail of the platform where the Prophet used to place his hand. Now why would they do that? They were doing that seeking the blessings from one of his traces. The knob of the platform where the Prophet used to preach. And they knew the religion. They knew the judgments, they knew whether it was permissible or non-permissible to do that, and they all did. Clearly teaching us that it's okay and it's permissible to seek the blessings from the traces of the Prophet. And that's why there should be no consideration, no whatsoever, to those people claiming otherwise. These people have one goal in mind. And that is to separate the Muslims from their prophets, Muhammad, peace be upon him. But they will never succeed. They will never succeed in doing that. So there they would supplicate to Allah, hoping Allah, and listen to this carefully. So they used to put their hands on the knob of the handrail, of the platform where the Prophet used to put his hand, and there they would supplicate to Allah, hoping Allah would answer their supplications, because they were placing their hands where the Prophet placed his while making their supplication. For that intent. So they really believed, by putting their hands where the Prophet put his hands, Allah will answer this supplication because of the high status the Prophet has. This practice of the companions clarifies two matters. The first one is the permissibility of asking Allah for things by the Prophet after his death. So when we say, oh Allah, we ask you by the Prophet to give me so and so, to enable me to do such and such. When we ask Allah by the Prophet, it's asking Allah still. And that's what those people, those ignorant people, cannot comprehend and do not see. They think that by doing so, you are worshipping Muhammad. And if you need to ask something, you ask Allah. But we are asking Allah. And that's why there is no consideration for what those people have to say when it comes to this matter. So as we said, we learn two matters from the deed of the companions. And that deed is that they used to put their hands on the knob of the handrails of the platform where the Prophet used to put his own hand. And there, they would make the supplication, over there. So the first one that we learn from the actions of the companions is the permissibility of asking Allah for things by the Prophet, and that's what we call tawassul. And that's what we call at tawassul. After his death, Since by their act, the companions were truly making tawassul. That's exactly what the companions of the Prophet were making. They were doing the tawassul. They were asking Allah to answer the supplication. They would make the supplication to Allah, putting their hand on the exact same spot where the Prophet used to put his hand, and that is called tawassul. And they were asking Allah by the Prophet. So whenever someone is doing tawassul, he is really asking Allah by the rank of the Prophet and the high status of the Prophet, and because of the goodness that Allah gave to the Prophet, to answer their supplication. Likewise, it is permissible to ask Allah for things by other pious Muslims. And here there's an interesting fact. Those same ignorant people claiming that you cannot seek blessings from the traces of the Prophet and the companions and the pious Muslims also say that you cannot make tawassul, they cannot make tawassul by the Prophet, by the companions, and by the other pious Muslims. And by the way, you can. It's permissible and it is allowed. At-tawassul and at-tabarruk, seeking the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to also seek a reason for the fulfillment of needs, at-tawassul, are both permissible in Islam. They are both permissible in Islam. The tabi'een, again, also used to seek blessings from the traces of the Prophet. And who are the tabi'een? They are not the companions, because as we said before, the companions are those Muslims, the companions are those Muslims who met the Prophet. They were alive at the time of the Prophet when he was alive. They met the Prophet. They saw the Prophet. They believed in Islam. They were Muslims and died as Muslims. If all these conditions are found into the one person, then this person qualifies as a companion to the Prophet, peace be upon him. The tabi'een are those people who met the companions, but did not meet the Prophet. They saw the companions, but they did not see the Prophet. Like for instance, when the Prophet died, those companions were present. Some people came and joined the Muslims in their belief, and became Muslims themselves, and believed in Islam, and met those companions, but they never met the Prophet, so we call them tabi'een. Now, not just the companions, as we stated just a while ago, did seek the blessings from the traces of the Prophet at his platform where he used to preach in his mosque, but also the tabi'een as well. The tabi'een also used to seek the blessings, and one of those tabi'een said that he used to go to Anas ibn Malik. And Anas ibn Malik was one of those people who served the Prophet for a long time. So this tabi'i, we call them tabi'een, this tabi'i used to go to Anas ibn Malik, and guess what he used to do? He would kiss the hands of Anas ibn Malik, look at the hands of Anas ibn Malik, put him on his own face and say, these are hands that touched the Prophet. He would look at his eyes and he would kiss the eyes of Anas ibn Malik and say, these are eyes that saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Anas ibn Malik, being the high scholar and companion of the Prophet so closely, by the way, of the Prophet, peace be upon him, had he known that this is something not permissible in Islam, would he have allowed it? No. He wouldn't have allowed that man to approach him, that tabi'i, and kiss his hands, kiss his eyes, for the reason that these hands and these eyes, Anas's hands and Anas's eyes, are hands and eyes that touched and saw the Prophet of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now, why was he doing that? That tabi'i. He obviously wasn't doing it for the fun of it. He was seeking blessings from the traces of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He believed that the blessings would be there. And he was performing tabarruk. And that's why we say, when you do that tabarruk and you seek that, those blessings from the traces, you are not worshipping that item or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are worshipping Allah. But because of the high status and the high ranking and the blessings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, you are seeking those blessings. But you're seeking them from Allah. You are seeking them. You are asking Allah to give you from those blessings to you that he had in his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you're not worshipping the Prophet, you are still worshipping Allah. All you're doing is seeking the blessings. Imam Ahmad, and again Imam Al-Hakim, and other scholars, other imams, narrated about Marwan ibn al-Hakam. And that man was one of the, or he was an unjust ruler of the Muslims at the time. This man, Marwan ibn al-Hakam, and be careful here, because the people who narrated that story are very highly ranked scholars of Islam. Al-Imam Ahmad wa al-Imam al-Hakim. They said that once when Marwan ibn al-Hakam, an unjust ruler, when he was once passing by the Prophet's grave, peace be upon him, he saw a man with his cheek on the grave of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So he saw one man standing at the grave of the Prophet with his cheek. He had his cheek put onto the grave of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So he looked at him, this unjust ruler, looked at Marwan ibn al-Hakam, looked at this man who had his cheek put on the grave of the Prophet, and said to him, "Do you know what you're doing?" He was trying to scold him, trying to stop him from doing what he was doing. But up until now, he did not know who that man was. The man who was resting his cheek onto the grave of the Prophet, peace be upon him. But when he neared the grave, after he asked his question, "Do you know what you're doing?" This man, Marwan ibn al-Hakam, the unjust ruler, all of a sudden realized it was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who was very, very much missing the Prophet, who lived with the Prophet, who saw the Prophet, but Allah made him live for a long, long time. Now, who was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari exactly? You see, Abu Ayyub was one of the greatest companions of the Prophet, as we said. And he went to Constantinople. Despite his advanced age, he was patient on the hardship of the journey from Medina to surround Constantinople. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari went along and he died there. And he was buried there, in the same area. Now, after a few years, an Ottoman ruler, Muhammad al-Fatih, went and he asked the people about the grave of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. A sheikh said to him, because that Ottoman ruler, when he asked about the grave of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he asked around, one man came to him and said to him that yesterday, when he was passing through, he saw a light. He saw a light beaming upwards to the skies from somewhere that he remembers. So the Ottoman ruler wanted to find that grave, since it belonged to one of the companions of the Prophet. So they went and they dug that same place until they found a plate written on it, "This is where Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was buried." So that man, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, was one of the greatest companions of the Prophet. He knew what he was doing. At the time when he had his cheek on the grave of the Prophet, he wasn't worshipping the stone forming the grave of the Prophet. He wasn't worshipping the Prophet. He was seeking blessings from the grave of the Prophet, since the Prophet is in that grave. And that was permissible. And after he died, that man was very highly ranked. Light was coming out of his grave, from his grave to the sky. That shows the high status and the high ranking that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, may Allah raise his rank, enjoyed. So they uncovered the plate with writings indicating this was the grave of Abu Ayyub. Just to conclude our lesson today, because we're almost out of time, let me tell you what happened after Marwan ibn al-Hakam said to him, "Do you know what you are doing?" And he realized it was Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari replied, "Yes, I know what I am doing. I came here for the messenger of Allah and not for the stone." So he knew straight away that Marwan ibn al-Hakam was hinting about him seeking blessings, and that the act, whether the act was okay or wasn't okay, and he straight away replied him with the proper answer. He said to him, "I came here to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my intent was not the stone. So, in other words, I am not worshipping the stone, I am visiting the best creation Allah ever created, the Prophet. Peace be upon him." And then, just to make his point clearer, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said to Marwan ibn al-Hakam, he said to him, "I heard the Messenger of Allah say, 'Do not cry over the religion of Islam if the rulers are ruling correctly. Rather, cry over this religion if the rulers are ruling incorrectly.'" By his response, as we can all understand, what Abu Ayyub was trying to do, he was telling Marwan ibn al-Hakam, "You are not one of those rulers who are correctly ruling by the rules of Islam." And Allah knows best, brothers and sisters. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين وتقبل اللهم منا بسر سورة الفاتحة